Well, good morning. This feels a little bit like deja vu. I feel like we just did this a couple days ago. But it's good. It's good to be back. Trust that that you all enjoyed Christmas in whatever form that looked like for you. Welcome to Open Arms Church this morning as we come back to gather and to continue remembering the Savior whose birth we celebrated yesterday. As we came in this morning, hopefully you received a program. I wanted to highlight just a couple things that you find on there. First of all, thank you all, members, for voting last week. As you'll see noted in the program, the budget that was proposed for 2022 was approved with 99% affirmation. So we're very excited about that. And in that, for those of you that couldn't make the meeting, one thing that we're particularly excited about that's part of this upcoming year's budget is that 20% of everything that we receive as a church goes right back out the door. For the first time in a long time, we're able to dedicate 20% of what we receive to missions. International missions, yes, it's fantastic. That's international missions, regional, local. 10% of that 20%, half of that 20% is going to support other church plants in our area. We want to be for other churches what, if you remember from, I think it was like a month and a half ago, what Bellevue Baptist was to us in our early stages as we were getting started. And so we have the opportunity to do that by God's grace, having paid off the mortgage for this building. And so we look forward to investing in His kingdom and other churches as well. So thank you again for participating in that, for voting on that. We look forward to seeing how God will use His resources to accomplish His purposes, not just here in this body of believers, but in other bodies as well. The other thing I just want to mention, ladies, if you notice on here, there is a save the date for January 29th and 30th. So we had a great men's advance in the beginning of November. We want to do a very similar thing with you here that last Friday, Saturday of January. So mark the date on your calendar. You'll be hearing more information about that, including how to sign up, what that looks like in the weeks to come. Right now, if you would join with me in a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you again. We can never stop thanking you for leaving heaven, coming to earth, humbling yourself, taking on human likeness, walking among us, living among us, so that we could have the opportunity for redemption, have the hope that it is not our sinless lives that could ever earn us access to you, but Jesus, it was your perfect sinless life and your sacrifice. You came and you were born to die, Lord, to take on the punishment that we deserve, that we might receive what we do not deserve. Lord, such truths are something that are too big, are too marvelous, are too incredible to just remember on December 25th. And so today and tomorrow and next week and next month and for this next year, Lord, may we continue to remember the baby born in a manger. May we continue to remember why you came. And may we live to tell others about that incredible message. As we worship you this morning, as we listen to your word, as we see just even in the passage we'll study today, just how others responded to the incredible gift of knowing that you had come. Lord, may we too be changed, be led to respond in similar ways to the incredible gospel, the good news that you have delivered to us. So Father, we worship you this morning and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with me? As we sing, it's the day after Christmas, but we're still going to sing songs about Jesus and to Jesus. Let me read Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The story of Jesus' life doesn't stop on Christmas morning, obviously. It continues, and even in the book of Revelation, we're seeing that. So let's sing together. I'm gonna ask you to join your voices with mine as we sing together the story of Jesus.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. The Lord upon the tree, in the stead of ruined sinners, hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory. Unmeasured love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him. Praise the Lord, He alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ the were resurrected, as we will be when He comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. What child is this to lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. Why lies He such low estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. These to bring him law, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, a king of kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Sing that chorus one more time.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Jesus, we worship you. Lord, thank you that you are worthy. And Lord, thank you that, Lord, that you are good, that we are drawn to worship you, to praise you, to follow you. Lord, draw us in to your word this morning as we open it up, and Lord, hear you speak to us. May we hear you speak to us, that may your Holy Spirit take your word and open our hearts and our minds and to make us more like you as we see you through your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat?
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas still. Someone asked me this morning, is it still appropriate? I say it is. So take that for your 2 cents. Well, it was maybe 12 hours ago that we celebrate and think that Jesus came into the world as we celebrate December 25th. Whose life has not been thrown into some kind of disarray this past year? This past 20, 21 months. We all have plans. And something happened. A pandemic. And life was altered for some in this room in dramatic ways. Heart-wrenching ways. For some, maybe less dramatic and heart-wrenching. But all of us had to deal with it. Who in this room, who are friends watching by live stream, couldn't have handled some of it a little better? I certainly could have. So, as we head into this next year, 2022, I'd like for us to take a text looking at some folks. They had plans for their life. And those plans were altered, not by a pandemic, but by God's plan, a sovereign plan that He had. Some, their life was altered on a scale of 1 to 10, past 10, broke the ceiling. Others, 2 or 3, but every life was altered. And as we look at this text today, I hope you and I can glean some insight so that as we move forward in the days, weeks, months, years ahead, we'll handle things a little bit differently because we will learn from God's word. 4 words from this text that I hope we walk away from is plan. Planning. We're always making plans, right? Let's hold them loosely. Another word, peace. Who doesn't want some peace in their lives? Next word is pondering. We're always pondering something, chewing on something, digesting something, thinking about something, reflecting on something. And then the last word is praise. Something makes us happy. Something gives us that joyful thing to share with somebody else. So we're going to look at those four words and see how these folks 2,000 plus years ago were impacted. And as we learn, maybe as we head into 2022, encouraging one another, building up one another, will handle the news of God's sovereign plan differently. Because you know, just like their lives were in disarray and their lives were altered, it was because God had a plan. You know, God has a plan for you and I in the midst of a pandemic. He says, I have a plan to work it into your lives. Have we thought about that? Have we let that take a hold? That God is sovereign over all. Because I'll tell you, there's many in this world, many in this room, that theologically, doctrinally, in our head, we believe God is in charge. God is sovereign. God is strong. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But it's in those moments when we were gripped with paralysis, when we were gripped with fear, when we run from him, when we let our flesh rise up in us, what we believe in our head isn't really reigning in our hearts. These four words this morning will help that be different. We have the opportunity every hour, every minute, every day for God to reign. So no matter what comes from the outside, we will be better prepared to honor God in the midst of it. So in your program, in your Bibles, please open up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, still examining the wonder and the awe of the Christmas story. The Immaculate Conception, the birth of Jesus. Beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So number one, in your outline, if you want to follow along, add a note or two, or in a moment I'll give you another verse to go and look up later. Let's you and I continue to plan diligently our lives, the comings and goings of our lives, but then commit those plans to God in a very intentional way. Because all these folks had plans. Caesar Augustus, the Roman leader, he wanted taxes. He wanted cash money. How's he going to get that? Everybody needed to register. A census needed to be taken. And as you went and registered in that town, no matter where he was, this is Israel. This is every little town, every little city. Whatever your lineage was, you had to go at a certain time, at a certain place, with your taxes, and register in that town. Joseph and Mary, they had a plan. Was it to travel? In her 9-month of pregnancy, it surely was not. They had a challenging time, a challenging season. If you were with us Christmas Eve, we examined how Joseph first heard the message of what was going to happen. God sent an angel to him. We heard the message of how God sent an angel to Mary and what was going to happen to her. Their lives, their plans were thrown into disarray. Joseph, even now at this time, had not yet married Mary. They were waiting until this miraculous baby conceived by the Spirit of God overshadowing her was to be birthed, and then he would marry her. He would take her to be his wife. Though they were betrothed, and we shared the other night how this was much more serious. It was actually a legal covenant signed by witnesses where they were saying, in this engagement period, we are going to act a certain way with each other and before others, and it was signed. And the only way to break that betrothal time was through a decree of divorce, because it was a serious legal matter to be engaged and to be betrothed to someone even in that time in Israel. And part of that was they weren't to live together and they weren't going to have sexual relations. And so he traveled with her, left her mother, left family, and who knows what was going on in their hearts and heads. Really? Joseph and Mary? Mary, you're pregnant? And it's not by him? And it's not by other guys? You're telling us that the Spirit of God has somehow miraculously made you pregnant? Yes, friends. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. Their plans were in disarray. We have a couple of shepherds. Blue collar, third shift, working at night, keeping watch over the flocks. And an angel showed up. That doesn't happen very often. That never happens. To these guys, considered unclean, maybe tending Passover lambs, would have been close to this season. But their plans were thrown into disarray. You and I have plans. It's good to make plans. But we need to learn to commit those plans to the Lord. We see here, as Caesar Augustus declared that everyone should be registered, and as Joseph left where he was in Nazareth, came to Judea, not just Judea, but to Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the lineage of David, and God had prophesied, going back to Jacob. And when God blessed Jacob's sons before he died, he said, Judah, the scepter will not leave your hand, Judah. And Judah settled in this area of Bethlehem, of Jerusalem, as David came from that lineage. And God said, and from David will come the Messiah. And here we have, 1,000 years later, Joseph from the lineage of David. But God needed Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, because God had also prophesied in Micah 5:2 that in Bethlehem, the Messiah would come. See, God's always had a plan. God shares his plan in his word. You and I, as we struggle, as we're wondering, God, what are you up to? He says, go to my word, go to my word, go to my word. I will let you in on what I'm up to. That's my invitation for you to have insight, wisdom, discernment, and then know how to respond to my plan. God says, I'm glad that you have a plan. That's good to be responsible and accountable. But my plan is higher and greater. And at times it's mysterious to figure it out. But I want to let you know. So when you seek me and you listen to me, I will reveal some things about my plan. Oh, not all the facts, because you couldn't take it. You can't handle all the facts. But day by day by day, I will give you enough that you can still have peace. So as you and I plan our lives, that's good. But we need to learn to commit them to the Lord. You know, for a number of years, even as a Christian, I was dull to the fact that God was sovereign over my life. That he had a particular plan for every hour and every day. I didn't get that. And then the word of God began to come alive to my heart and to my mind in regards to that truth. I want to share with you two scriptures that as I read and meditated and pondered, memorized, hid them in my heart, they were so helpful when things happened on the outside that would be stressful, that would be bring my life into disarray and chaos would ensue. That also looked like good opportunities, because sometimes not every opportunity, good opportunity, is God's plan. It could be a test. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, verse 9 says this: we make our plans, but the Lord has the right answer, or the final answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your works or your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And can I tell you that word commit means to roll it off your fingertips, roll it off your heart, give your full mind to the Lord, because he knows our motives better than we do. Our motives, our feelings, they trick us. They don't trick God. And so how often do we have an idea, a thought, a plan, and we're going for it, and we say we give it to God, but we give it like this. We're the edge of our fingers. We're holding on to it. Here you go, God. We tell our friends, pray for us. God says, roll it off. Trust me. The next verse says this: so commit your actions, your plans to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Verse 9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. God is sovereign. God has a plan. God's in charge. God cares. And God says, my plan is better than your plan. Psalm 37, 1 through 7. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. See, God says when life happens, when difficulty occurs, we fret, we grumble, we whine, and that does us no good. God says it eventually leads to evil, because that will paralyze your heart, grip your heart, and then what comes out of your heart? Ungodly words. Because what's in your heart and in your mind is anger. And the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't fret about the wicked or those who do wrong. Instead, look at verse 3, or look at it later. Trust in the Lord and continue to do good. then you will live safely in the land, and then you will have success. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Don't take delight in your plans and whatever you think is going to make you happy. Take delight in the Lord. Learn how to delight in him, and then your plans will succeed. Because that word delight is talking about in your heart, desire, love, treasure, want to please. And all of a sudden, when he's got your heart, he can shift your heart. He can affirm, he can adjust what's in your heart when our focus is on him. So commit, there's that word, commit everything you do to the Lord. Everything. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your right ways radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. So be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. So, two scriptures, Psalm 37, 1 through 8, Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, and verse 9. Meditate, chew, ponder on those texts. Let them take root in your heart. And when life happens, the Spirit of God will bring them up and remind you, oh, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? Second, peace. Do you know peace? That's ours. That's why he came. The angel said, as he appeared to those shepherds, I have good news of great joy for all people. Peace is coming. Isaiah prophesied 700 years earlier, the Prince of Peace is coming. And peace is not just the absence of war. It's not just the absence of agitation and conflict. It's personal. It's the presence of God in our lives. He's saying, peace is coming. Every single human being is born with a rebellious nature toward God. And whatever we do, whatever religion is devised by man from the beginning, does not bridge that gap of peace. However well-meaning, however serious we follow it, God says your religion does not bridge that gap. But my son bridges the gap and makes peace at a great cost, his life. He had to come as a human being in a fragile, humble way to live the life of a human being, to give himself as a sacrifice for human beings so you and I might have peace. Because your rebellion against me, which is called sin, missing the mark, is a heavy cost. And you can't be in my presence as long as your heart is tainted by sin. And there's nothing you can do to fix that and cleanse that. But there's something I can do and have done to fix that. And I've come in the presence and the form of a humble child. God the Son of God. And the angel Gabriel told Mary, he will be great and will be known as the Son of God, the Holy One. Peace. Is peace hindered in your life right now? There's only one reason, believer. It's because Jesus is not reigning in our hearts right now. We've been distracted. We're focusing too much on other messages, on someone else, even our own desires, our own hearts, or somebody else's desire, or somebody else's word. For unto you, the angel said to those shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a Redeemer, a Reconciler, the Pardon Giver. He's Jesus. He is Christ the Lord. How do you know? who he is as you go to Bethlehem? Because he's in the governor's mansion? No. You'll find him humbly in a manger, in swaddling cloths. He's the one, the promised one. Because on this earth, God's ready to give peace, to make peace. He's got to do it. There will be peace. And guess what God says? Notice that last part of verse 13. For those with whom he's pleased. A lot of times we struggle with peace because we struggle in our sin. We stumble in many ways. And the first thought comes, God hates me, disappointed in me, can't stand me, doesn't want anything to do with me right now, so I may as well stay in this pit or keep going in this pit. God says, no, I'm pleased to call you child, to call you son, to call you daughter. I'm pleased to give my life for you. I love you. I have mercy upon you. I've come to make peace. For the wage of sin is spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. For God extended his love towards us in this way, while we're yet still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Have you been reconciled to God? Praise the Lord if you have. If you've trusted in him, believed on him, you've heard Jesus call your name personally, and you said, take me, I surrender. I need a pardon, I need forgiveness. From you, Jesus, what you did on that cross, you paid the price for my rebellion. God says at that moment, peace occurs. We're at peace. You're my child. Galatians 4:4 says it this way. In the fullness of time, at the right time, and in the right place, God sent his son to be born of a virgin, to break the enslavement of sin that has kept us from a relationship with God. In a perfect way, in a perfect time, in a perfect city, all that God had planned. And so he says, so what's coming at you right now? If you're a believer, you've trusted in Christ by faith alone, he says, we have peace. That's peace with God. The peace from God daily, hourly, is now available to us in our heart, in our minds, because we are children of God. It says, but now what you need to do is remember. The Lord is near, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. So you can rejoice. You can have joy in the midst of the trial, the testing, the difficulty, the pain, the pandemic. Why? Because the Lord is near. So when fear assails, you come. You bring him your anxious thoughts. It's okay to tell your spouse, your parents, your neighbor, your pastor. He says, come. And they ought to. Hopefully they will say, well, let's come and bring those things to God. Because he has a promise. He says, as you bring those things, the world's things, your own heart's things, your own distractions, the things that make you flutter and distract and tempted to leave him, bring them to him. He says, I will put a guard over your heart and over your mind. The very presence of Christ will rise up in you. And then what does he say? Now I want you to ponder, to think on the things that are true and noble and praiseworthy, virtuous, all of the things that center around Christ and God's love for us and his character, who he is. Think on those things. Meditate on those things. Ponder those things. And the Prince of Peace will be with you. He will rise up in you. And that leads us to the third word, which is ponder. Notice, ponder over his words. We're always pondering whenever our phone clicks. Oh, who's got something to say now? About what? We got to make a shift. We got to ponder over God's words. Mary did that. How blown away when those shepherds came. Ah, here he is. The Savior of the world. The Prince of Peace. How do you guys know that? Oh, let me tell you, an angel appeared. Joseph and Mary looking at each other. Oh, yeah, we know about angels. And then a host of angels. Oh, we didn't get a host of angels. And they told us about this baby boy. He would be the Savior of the world. He would be our Savior. They marveled. They wondered. They couldn't contain themselves. Anybody who was around, they were telling. And we notice, verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Here's the truth. Whatever we treasure, we think about. There was a season, a company I worked for, part of a bonus they gave every year was stock in the company. Before then, I never looked at the Wall Street Journal or the Dow or how the market was doing. I heard about it, knew a little bit about it. But once they gave me stock options, I looked almost every day. How's the stock doing? How's my treasure doing? Right? Because it was there. Whoa. I want to make sure it's doing good. I'm going to work hard. They were a smart company. I'm going to work harder. So the stock rises up. Mary treasured God's word upon what she was told. She treasured and pondered the Son who was her Savior. And she would declare later on in Luke 2, which we're not going to read today. And that served her so well every day for the rest of her life. As she marveled over this one who grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. And helped her so well when his best friends turned, one of them betrayed. The people who came to love and offer peace to cried out, "Crucify him." In the midst of that chaos and that heartbreak, Spirit will remind her, because she had treasured and because she constantly pondered on the Word of God, the truth of God. So the Spirit of God could raise up to her heart, raise up to her mind in the moment she needed the most, the truth. And the Prince of Peace would guard her heart and wash and cleanse her mind, as he will you and I. And then notice the shepherds in verse 20, they praised. You see, we can praise when somebody tells us how God showed up in their lives and what he did, and that's wonderful. And we can rejoice with them. You see, the angel told the shepherds about something. They were praising. They knew Jesus in heaven. They knew him as a spirit. But he was now becoming flesh and blood, a human being. And so they told the shepherds, "That was good, that was cool." They marveled at that and said, "Let's go check it out." Oh, that's where everything changes. When praise becomes personal, and praise becomes personal when we seek him in his word. And when we pray not so much telling him who he needs to be, what he needs to do, but we pray and praise him for who he is and what he's already done, and trusting him that whatever he plans on doing, it's for our good and for his glory, because his plans are better than ours. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This past year, this past 21 months, the only reason we stay in paralysis of fear, anxiety, and worry, we've shut him out. We forget that God has a plan bigger than ours, and that God's always at work to bring glory to himself. God uses the trials and the tests and the heat of the refining fire to make us more like Jesus, so that we might be lights in the midst of a dark world, holding forth the gospel, the good news, who this Jesus is, the peace he gives in the midst of heartache and heartbreak, trial and struggle. God says, you are my ambassadors. You are my angels, if you will, my messengers now, to go and tell others just like they. I sent them from heaven to go and tell people of this earth. I don't do that anymore. I tell you, my people of this earth, who are my people, who I'm pleased with. It pleased me to come and to die for you and to give you life, because I love you so. Now you go and tell others this good news of great joy, who the Savior is to you. And when we ponder and we praise him for who he is, what he has done and what he's going to do, we have some, it just wells up in us. We can't help but speak of him well in the midst of challenge and difficulty. So, as we move out of this Christmas season, it's been good these last 72 hours and maybe weeks before to think about, to anticipate, to get ready. It's what Advent's all about, right? To get ready. We're going to celebrate the most marvelous thing that ever took place, God coming to earth for a purpose, that he would go to a cross. But in a few weeks, these trees will be gone, these poinsettias, which are so fragrant even now as I speak, they'll be gone. Will Jesus be gone? Not if we make plans diligently and commit them to him. Not if we remember peace only comes from him. Not if we ponder his word. And not if we praise him for who he is and what he's already done. You've heard of the Christmas manger thief, haven't you? The family, a number of years ago, went to put away the decorations. Mom gave everybody their responsibility. And when the 8-year-old daughter, whose responsibility was to put away the manger and the crash and all of the little folks who were part of that, the shepherds and the wise men from the east and Mary and Joseph, she screamed, "Somebody stole Jesus from the manger." And they looked around. Surely he would show. Everything was almost put away, and they still hadn't found him. And then they heard a voice down the hallway. Their 4-year-old brother, their little son, they heard him talking to someone. And as they crept down the hallway and the door was open, they heard him say, "Oh, don't worry, Jesus. I'm not going to let them put you away in that dark box this year. I'm going to keep you here with me all year long." My friends, he came to be with us Emmanuel, God with us, all year long. So how can we handle it better? The hours, the weeks, the year ahead. Make your plans. Commit them to Him. Let Him lead. Let Him adjust. Let Him change them. Hold them lightly. When the opposite of peace rises in your heart, go to the Prince of Peace. And lay out your heart. Cry out to Him. Gather with others who are crying out to Him. Will cry out to Him with you. Not just fret, not just moan, not just grumble, but who will pray and seek Him with you. And then ponder daily His promises, His truths. The angels opened up. Peace on earth has come to those who He's pleased with. Jesus closed out His life. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Peace. I leave with you. My peace, my presence, I give to you. That's something to praise God about. All the time, even in the midst of the heartache. It's not going to come bellowing from our mouth. I get that. But when we meditate upon Him, He's there. He will remind us. And we'll just be saying, thank you. I am not alone. Because God is sovereign. He has a plan. It's a plan for me and for my life. Father, I thank you that your word is so alive. It speaks to us. It draws us to you. Thank you for this great love. Thank you for this incredible sacrifice. Thank you that the creator of every universe has spoken to us here today. Through His living word and through Christ, the word who became flesh and dwelt among us and ascended and is with you now, joining us in prayer. His ministry right now, more than any other, outside of glorifying and praising you, Father, is interceding for us, the ones in whom He is pleased with, whom He came to give His life for. Saying, seek my Father. I know you're weak. I know you're stressed. I know you're fearful. I am with you. Keep praying to me. Don't listen to the other voices. Ponder my voice. Even now, I will help you. I will rise up in your heart. I will lead you and guide you. Because I am good. I proved it. And I am worthy of your prayer and intercession, of your praise and your trust. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me? There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. You meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting, sanctifying us. Beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. With us in the fire and the flood.
faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly. Passionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me. And your promises are mighty light. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. With us in the fire and the flood, faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over
you, that you are sovereign, you are in control, you direct our steps, that we can trust you with all our heart. not lean just on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in everything, trusting that you're going to make our path straight, that you're going to direct our steps through the tough things, in the midst of those, and that we can hold on to you. Thank you, Lord, for making yourself available to us so that we can know you and trust you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us this morning, and Happy New Year, and we'll see you next year.